Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger, and last night I had a dildo in me that has a Swarovski crystal on the end of it. It's very pretty and too expensive. Who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. I'm a sex educator and a sex blogger, and this morning I climbed 66 flights of stairs, which is so many.
Not just like for no reason. For an actual event of not just like randomly.
I climbed to the top of Rockefeller Plaza, which, to be honest, I learned on the way back down, it costs $40 to take the elevator. Fuck you, I will take the stairs. I don't know if they actually let you do it later, but fuck you, the stairs are free.
That's an expensive elevator. Jesus.
Right?
That's elevating my blood
pressure. The view is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Like, it's absolutely stunning up there, but still, the stairs only took me like 25 minutes. It's fine.
That's amazing. You're so
I got shame. Time.
I have asthma and bad joints, so I feel like I would definitely pass out in the stairwell like three flights up and just be like, go on without me, it's fine.
The first year my little brother went with us, he was like 11 or 12. And was like, yeah, we're going to run up the first, like, 10 or 15 flights, and then we're going to jog for, like, the remaining. And I was like, aye, buddy, sure. He made it, like, three flights and was like, I was like, okay, there we go, good. he kept pace with me this year, though.
Good.
Yeah, he's, like, he's 14 now. He killed it.
Oh, so many athletic boys. So you penetrated the Rockefeller Center.
No.
And this episode's about penetration. Perfect segue. Flawless. 10 out of 10.
You know you have the power to edit, right? You can take that back if you want.
Oh, absolutely. I can and I won't. So we were going to do an episode that was about double penetration, and I was kind of like, I don't know if I have enough to say about that. I've attempted it perhaps three times in my life, not even with flesh and blood dicks. And then Beck suggested that we do kind of a penetration 2.0, so like advanced level penetration. I keep wanting to call it penetrash, which, like, I don't have a proper spelling for that, so when I type it out, it looks like it says penetrash, which makes me laugh for other reasons.
There's just so much in that to respond to.
I know, I'm sorry. I've been drinking coffee, evidently. Okay, so would you consider yourself someone who does advanced level penetration, Bex?
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
What does that mean to you?
I mean, for me, so generally, like, whether I'm getting off alone or playing with people, I'm playing with really large toys and or fists. Mm-hmm. So that is, like, a part of my day-to-day repertoire. Mm-hmm. So I would say that, like, I mean, that alone, but also DP and other things like that, I think, mm-hmm. can be a part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. You're way more advanced than me. Like, I like, know about these things and have attempted them, but my badge just doesn't seem up to the task, which I actually wanted to ask you, like, there's common wisdom, especially from sex educators, that, like, basically if you go slowly enough and use enough lube, that any hole can eventually accommodate, like, almost any toy or any size of penetration. But, like, I actually don't know if I think that's true, because, like, I have a pubic bone and stuff. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think it's varying degrees of difficult for different people. And also people with vaginal pain and things along those lines are going to have a harder time. Mm-hmm. I think I would say that most bodies have the capacity to do a lot. Mm-hmm. Maybe not all have the capacity to do the same amount, but to do a lot more than people expect without damage. I will say I think people have different tolerance and enjoyment levels for the discomfort of stretching, though.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think there are a lot of people that it just doesn't feel good after a while.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess is your body not being able to do it.
Yeah.
or just not wanting to.
Yeah.
But I think that's definitely a factor as well.
Yeah, I definitely feel like kind of bratty when I get to a point where I'm like, well, I could take this fist, but I don't want to because, which sounds like a fake thing, but like is actually true because like I get to a certain point where I don't really enjoy that stretching sensation. I think I don't eroticize it in the same way that you do. And like, I probably could if I like worked on those fantasies and that those associations, but yeah, it's not as like psychologically exciting for me, and it's also not as physically exciting for me, so I've never been like called towards really really huge penetration, although like a lot of people, I'm sure the average person would look at my sex toy collection and be like, those are huge, but for me living in sex toy reviewer land, I'm like, these are on the larger size side of average, but like not as far.
Where's your tipping point for large toys?
Oh wow. I think probably around the 2.5, 2.75 diameter range.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, because, like, the largest toy I use on a regular basis probably is the fucking Sculptures Double Trouble, which I want to say is about 2.25-ish. And that one even is, like, a bit of a struggle on some days. But the A-spot stimulation on that one is amazing. So, like, I can take it. But beyond that, I'm just like, this feels more and more uncomfortable and not more and more pleasurable, which sometimes you get both in one. Like, there are a lot of activities that are both of those things at once for me, but like huge penetration is not one of them.
Yeah, I tend to think over 2 inches in diameter. Mm-hmm. Honestly, because A, that's the size that a lot of sex toy shops kind of cap out at. Mm-hmm. And a lot of sex toy companies tend to not go ton larger than that.
Mm-hmm.
And also because the 2 inches is the size when people start being weird about it on the sales floor.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. That's where they start making the jokes, is mostly the Vixen outlaw.
Okay, so.
But 2 inches is where I've.
Dick joke threshold.
Yeah. Yeah, is where I've noticed, like, the general public is start being like, whoa, because I have no scale. I have no measurement of what, like, people think of as especially large.
Yeah.
Because sex toy reviewer community, queer community, like, you got all kinds of weird shit.
Yeah, yeah. I've dated and known a lot of dudes who, like, even as a dildo gets up into the, like, 1.5, 1.75 diameter range, they're like, whoa, like, you really like big toys, and, like, you're a size queen, and I would always be kind of uncomfortable with that classification, but, like, my current partner is a big sex toy nerd, so he's just like, yeah, shove this giant piece of glass in you, no problem, whatever.
Yeah, sure. I'm actually curious about that. I never quite know where it falls when people ask about, like, my kinks and fetishes.
Mm-hmm.
I never know if I consider fisting one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I always think of it as a sex act, but a lot of times I'll mention it and people will think of it as, like, kink or fetish, and I'm curious where you fall on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is partly a queer culture, not queer culture divide.
Yeah.
Because queer culture, like, we're already accustomed to thinking of non-standard sex acts as just, like, part of what we do in sex, including, like, using toys, which some very, very vanilla people consider a kink act, which to me is silly, but, like, that is a real thing, and basic stuff like that. And so I think it's, like, all, you know, contextual, and it depends on where you're coming from and where you are on that spectrum of, like, what counts as sex to you. But I do think, like, for you, it seems to me that you do, in a way, like, fetishize the act of taking something really big. Maybe it's not just fisting, but, like, maybe you do have, like, kind of, like, fetishistic feelings about taking big things because of, like, service feelings or that kind of thing. So maybe that is a kink because you are kinkifying it, if you will.
That makes sense. I didn't think about it as that way, but you are right. Like, it does play into a lot of stuff for me. And even, like, you were talking about earlier, how you don't, like, super enjoy the feeling of stretching. It's more, like, something you go through to get larger penetration.
Yeah.
More or less, yeah. And I was realizing, like, how much, for me, I really enjoy the feeling of stretching to the point where sometimes it's, like, pain play stuff for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that, like, sitting right on the edge of pain kind of just plays into my masochism feelings.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big part of what I enjoy about it. So, mm-hmm. That, possibly a little kinky.
Yeah, I think of it for me as being more of a sex act because I don't fetishize it in that way. Like, mm-hmm. The times that I have tried to do fisting, it has been sort of an expression of, like, deep intimacy and, like, even, like, romance and love, because it is such a slow-paced process with so much mutual focus and communication and listening and paying attention. And the fisting itself was not the thing I was fetishizing. I think if we were doing almost anything else that had also that level of intimacy and communication and focus, that I would enjoy it in similar ways and for similar reasons.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start liking big penetration? Like, when did this start to become a big part of your sexual palette?
I would say maybe 3 years ago at this point. Mm-hmm. But I think it was kind of always a thing. I just didn't start working up to stuff people would consider large until then.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't work on, like, actively size training before mm-hmm. then. But it was always, like, when I learned about sex, it was always like, okay, well, what are the fringes of this look like? What ways can I kind of exaggerate this or do more or do different or all of that?
Mm-hmm.
And kind of exploring that taboo, and size was a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I have this really distinct memory of being in, like, 8th grade, and hearing kids talk about, we were in art class, and the boys were teasing some of the girls about, like, masturbation and whatever, but asking how many fingers they could get inside themselves, mm-hmm. and I was like, challenge accepted.
There's an idea.
I was not even a part of the conversation, but, like, from the other side of the table, I was like, okay, and wound up, like, trying it. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of always something that intrigued me,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, 3 years ago, I started dating someone who was really into size stuff, and we did a lot of that together and a lot of, like, size training and that sort of thing.
Cool.
So that's when I started, like, actually getting into it.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask you more about size training in a second, for sure, because I love that phrase. I was always, like, kind of, I have always found large penetration really interesting, like, theoretically, mentally, but, like, my vag has not always been compliant. Like, if you go back to the early days of my blog, I would review things that were, like, 1.5 inches in diameter and be like, this was uncomfortably large, so I find it hard to review because it was a struggle just to get it in. So I can take more things now, which I think is a matter of, like, practicing being aware of those muscles and knowing how to relax them and also knowing, like, what kind of process my own body needs for that. But I remember I went to this fisting workshop here that was taught by Courtney Treble, and they were doing a live demo actually fisting Zara Stardust, and I was so fascinated by this. Like, I remember my boyfriend at the time was like, why are you going to that? Like, do you want me to fist you? And I was like, I don't think so. I think I actually just want to see a live fisting demo. And
I mean, yeah,
who would it? Like, those two people are babes, but I went, and I was so, so amazed by, again, that level of, like, focus and communication and, like, how in tune with each other's bodies and minds you have to be to do that. And I also remember that there was this woman there who, during the Q&A portion, was asking, like, okay, but if someone is really, really into big penetration like this, like, what companies should they go to for really big dildos? And Courtney was like, well, there's, like, Vixen Creations, there's Bad Dragon, they, like, named a few. And this woman was like, okay, but I've tried those. Like, I want something really, really huge. Like, what do you recommend? And that really stuck with me because I was like, wow, like, part of me was sort of put off by this woman, like, just reflexively, because I think, like, our culture is kind of, like, put off by the idea of, like, people taking really big penetration. But then another part of me was, like, really intrigued and also, like, this person is goals. Like, I wonder if this will ever be me someday. Nowadays, I would say, like, check out companies that are geared towards gay men because they tend to have massive toys. Yeah, I was just going to say
Square Peg.
Yeah.
Yeah. Square Peg, Oxballs. Lot of dicks on those websites, though. So many dicks. Great dicks, yeah. But so many of them.
Yeah, you gotta commit to seeing a lot of dicks. Okay, so you mentioned size training. I'm fascinated by this. I think, like, as a submissive, the word training automatically, like, makes my ears perk up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is size training, and how do you do it?
I mean, it's the idea of... I actually want to talk to you a little bit about this, too, because you were talking about just learning how your body works and how you warm up, and that's basically what size training is, except a little bit more deliberately with a goal of getting to either just a larger size or a specific size, gradually working up with more fingers or larger toys or whatever that looks like, not necessarily over... Could be over an evening, but more likely over days, weeks, months, etc. Bodies take time. And I really enjoy it as part of, like, a DS thing. The idea of being able to take more for someone. So when I was dating my long-distance dominant, I would train up for things to be able to take his fist when I saw him. And things like that. But for me, my body is relatively accustomed to taking large things and relatively cooperative. It's not that hard for me to take stuff. So I'm wondering a little bit what your process is like warming up to things, because I know it's a little bit slower and more deliberate.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is, like, when I'm by myself, I have, like, no patience, and I'll tend to just put a lot of lube on a toy that's perhaps bigger than I should be taking at that moment and, like, grin and bear it, which is, like, not really what you should do. That's sort of a sex educator do as I say, not as I do thing. but I have very little patience when it comes to that. And so, like, it's often when I'm with partners that I actually do take my time and do it properly, and, like, they'll start with, like, one finger, which seems really small, but... sometimes that's what I need, and then they'll work their way up. And my partner went to a fisting workshop where the instructor recommended that you, once you get to about three or four fingers, you switch to a toy and then switch back to fingers after a little while of that, which we found really helpful. So, like, the best thing for me now, if I'm, like, trying to work towards a fisting sesh, is using the Vixen Randy, which is a huge dildo. It's comically large. But it's so great, and I feel like such a badass every time I take it. There's actually, I will link it in the show notes, because our friend Epifra did this really hilarious review of the Randy that was like a daily diary of her efforts to try to take it. And she just, like, chronicled the emotional and physical journey of trying to get this huge dildo inside her over a number of days. And it's such a funny post, and it's also just, like, a wonderfully encouraging thing if you're trying to work up to taking larger stuff.
Yeah. One of the things I actually really enjoy about size training and taking large things in general is that it's really easy to mark your progress and really tangible. And not necessarily, like... I do want to derail for a second, though, because we're saying a lot of things like progress and talking about it, like... this is, like, 201 and advanced level stuff, and this is, yes, but also, like, that doesn't make it better.
Yeah, absolutely. No.
Any other types of penetration, because we are talking about a lot of this as if it's, like, goals and...
Right.
the next step of penetration and, like, how you have more advanced sex, and that's not necessarily the case.
I think of it like a kink in that, like, you might, if you're really into, say, like, flogging, then you might go down the flogging rabbit hole and do, like, flogging 101, flogging 201, like, learn how to do advanced level flogging. But that doesn't mean the people who don't do flogging are, like, less than or even less kinky necessarily. It's just, like, you know, their interests take a different route. And that's totally fine, and that's part of the spectrum of sexuality.
Yeah, exactly. But I just didn't want to take a moment to explicitly say that.
Mm-hmm. Especially since, like, a lot of people have psychological or physical reasons for not enjoying penetration or large penetration, vaginismus, vaginal pain issues, and also, like, trauma issues. So it's like, you know, penetration is definitely not the be-all and end-all of sex. It happens to be very important to both of us, but, like, there are so many wonderful things you can do without it, and there are also so many wonderful things you can do with, like, huge amounts of it.
Yeah, exactly. But for me, what I like is I can track progress towards these goals, and being able to say, you know, oh, I can take something this large now. It feels like an accomplishment, and it feels like, you know, leveling up in a video game in the same kind of way.
Yeah, I have one of those rainbow striped dildos from Blush Novelties. My partner was saying that he likes similarly that it has those rainbow stripes, so you can actually pay attention to, like, how much you take on any given day. The one that I have is fairly small, but if it was bigger and I was working toward taking more of it, then that would be cool to use it that way.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get down to mechanics, because I'm curious. You're an expert. Do you have some favorite, like, hacks or tricks that you've learned for taking big penetration?
I mean, starting slow, I like using a thicker lube. I know a lot of folks, especially for anal play, really enjoy stuff like oil-based lubes or silicone-based lubes because they stay slippery for a really long time. But for me, I like the extra cushion that comes with a hybrid lube. I use liquid silk. You need to be careful with it on some silicone toys. I've never encountered a silicone toy it wasn't compatible with. But you can spot test them. But I like that it's thick and offers a little bit of padding and a little bit of cushion between me and the toy.
And if you're using if you're using a water-based thing, you can keep, like, a spray bottle of water by the bed. Like, I have a little spray bottle thing, and you just, like, reapply and it re-lubricates it, and it's great.
Starting slow, being willing to kind of warm up, I tend to go incrementally, at, like, a quarter inch in diameter at a time. Larger than I'm used to. It wasn't until I started getting larger and toys started getting harder to find that I started making, like, half inch jumps. But that tends to be harder.
Yeah, I think those are good tips. One of my favorite lubes right now is Soutil Rich, which is, like, an incredibly thick water-based lube. It almost feels like a silicone-based lube. It has that kind of texture to it. I love that one. I've also noticed for me that glass and steel toys work better for this with my body. I think because they're so, like, frictionless, like, the drag of silicone can often make it difficult for me to take larger things. And I also just, like, enjoy the sensation of harder toys like that more. But a problem I have encountered is if you're trying to do double penetration with two glass or steel toys.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they will kind of, like, clink together through those walls. It's really, really hard to describe. It's sort of like being stuffed with marbles. I'm really not into the feel or the sound of it.
It's horrifying. I hate it so much. I've done it. It's,
Yeah.
It's just so uncomfortable.
It's very, very uncomfortable. So when I am aiming for double penetration, I do tend to go for two silicone toys because it's just, it's viscerally gross and upsetting to me to hear things clanking together through my wall.
Yeah. I have also found, and we'll get into DP in a second, I have also found that whenever possible, riding the toy instead of laying down has been helpful because gravity.
Yeah.
and as long as you and having that in your favor, also you can lower yourself really gradually and slowly onto it. So I found that is a lot easier when I'm really struggling with something.
Yeah. It was a big shift for me also when I realized that instead of just trying to relax my muscles, I could also actually focus on pushing them outwards, which for me makes it easier to take toys. Like, I often found it difficult to just try to consciously relax my muscles, which is the advice that you're given all the time when you're trying to take big penetration. It's just like, relax. And like, often you'll have your partner saying to you, like, relax. And it's like, it's harder to do that sometimes than it is to say it. So pushing out has been more helpful for me because that's like, it feels like I'm doing something active and it does make it easier. And also, like, sort of Lamaze style breathing is important for me. I don't know why. Maybe it helps me focus on something else. Maybe it gets me in my body and mindful. I don't really know what it is, but it is helpful. Do you have any psychological tricks for this? Because like a lot of what we've been talking about has been like more physical tricks, but is there anything like you like tell yourself or say to yourself when you're trying to take something really big?
I mean, I'm a servicey perv, so it's usually something along the lines of imagining someone telling me to do it for them.
Mm-hmm.
but it comes back to that fetishizing the girth and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Also playing with the idea of, like, if this is a person who generally has a hard time fucking people, doing it as a service for them.
Mm-hmm.
Or that sort of thing. Because a lot of people can't generally take it. So for me, it's a matter of eroticizing it, which mm-hmm. in turn makes it a lot easier to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I also turn to sort of similar mental strategies as I do when I'm getting hit a lot or something. Like when we talked about it and you told me that your internal mantra while you're getting spanked is like, just one more. That's kind of similar to how I think about it. Like I can make it through another 5 seconds. I can make it through another 10 seconds and that makes it easier. Although I will say like, if it's actually hurting, that's usually a sign that something is not going well.
Yeah.
Especially with anal stuff. Well, I don't know, especially, like, maybe with both, but if it does start to hurt, like, you should listen to that signal, and you should back off and go slower. I often find if I start to hurt that I have, like, surpassed my body's capabilities for the day, and I have to sort of give up on it for another day, actually, but maybe that's not always true.
Yeah, pain is your body's way of telling you something is wrong, something is tearing that shouldn't be.
Yeah.
There's not enough lube somewhere. Something is going on.
Yeah.
But discomfort. Think, so your holes are a muscle, right? So think about it the way you stretch your muscles at the gym or mm-hmm. before a run or something.
Mm-hmm.
Discomfort is part of the game, right? That happens. That's a sign that it's working.
Mm-hmm.
But if you hurt yourself while you're stretching, that's a bad sign. And you can do that, right? So I think in the same way, you just need to know where your line is.
Yeah. This is also why we advocate strongly against, and I mean we as in like most of the sex educator community, advocate strongly against those numbing lubes that are sold especially for anal play. Because if you can't feel anything, you can't feel when things are going very wrong, and that is not good.
Yeah.
But speaking of muscles, etc., there's a lot of stigma about taking big penetration for a lot of different reasons, but one of the reasons is that some people think that if you do this often or if you do it at all, that you will get stretched out and that you'll become loose. And what do you think about that?
That's not how science works. Once again, it's a muscle, right? It's going to return to its normal shape.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean it's not going to get easier to take large penetration, right? The more you stretch, the easier it'll be to do a split, but your legs don't stay wiggling out there to the side. your muscles will recontract. Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of like if you think of it in terms of yoga or something, like if you do the same yoga pose over time, you'll get better at it. Your muscles will become more flexible. You'll be more able to do it more easily and more quickly. But your muscles are not just going to like stretch out and be loose. Like that's not really how flexibility works. It's just you get a greater range of motion from practicing using those muscles.
Right.
It's also just like hilarious on a logical level that so many dudes are like, if you fucked a bunch of dudes, then your vag must be loose. But somehow if you fucked the same dude an equal number of times, this doesn't happen? Like, what are the physics of that? I don't get
it. Science, man.
Slut science.
I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
Okay, before we progress further, I want to talk about dick extenders.
Okay.
I love them. So, if you don't know, a dick extender usually is like a thing that you put on a dick and it makes the dick, I don't know, bigger or harder. And it's, I used to sell them often to people who were struggling with erectile dysfunction, but there are also ones that you can only use when you're hard already. And I find it such an interesting product because it really cuts to the core of like this huge anxiety that so many cis dudes have about dick size. And it really just, like, makes that into a sex thing. So a couple years ago, I had a partner who had a dick that, like, was pretty big already, but he told me that he had a fantasy about putting on a silicone dick extender and fucking someone who identified as a size queen. I don't know, like, it's a very interesting fantasy to me. I don't really know, like, what the psychological root of that is or anything, but I found it very interesting, and I was like, oh, hello, I'm a size queen.
I love how 30 seconds ago you were like, I felt kind of weird about being classified as a size queen, and well, this dude was like, so, and you were like, hello.
Yeah.
Which, knowing who this dude is, I'm like, yeah, checks out.
Well, as with so many labels, when other people try to put it on me, sometimes it makes me bristle a little bit, but when I choose it for myself, that is empowering. But so I went to you, of course, my resume sex toy expert friend, immediately. And I was like, okay, which dick extenders do you recommend and how should we go about this? And you were like, oh, I actually have two dick extenders I'm not using.
So there is a pile of sex toys in my room that when people come over, I just go, hey, you want some? Go through that. Tell me if you find something you want.
That's amazing. Yeah, so you were able to hook me up. The ones you gave me were by Traz Rhino. Is that the brand?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty weird brand.
Are they still a thing?
I actually don't think they're making them anymore, but I'm not positive. I'll link them in the show notes.
Yeah, I got them like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, so they're actually a really cool product. You put them on the dick, and they have this weird like suction mechanism at the tip that helps them stay on. And they are actually, like, textured on the inside, so especially if you put a little lube on the inside, just, like, a little tiny bit, they can feel good for the person wearing it, which is really uncommon for this type of product and is, like, one of the main problems with this category. So we tried it, and I was, like, surprisingly into it. I was also thinking a lot about the sort of fantasy potential of this type of toy because there's a lot there in terms of, like, cuckolding or small penis humiliation or a lot of different types of kinks I think would work well with this.
Mm-hmm.
I just love them. I texted my partner today. I was like, silicone dick extenders are great. And he was like, I agree, but like, where did this thought come from? I was like, don't worry about it. I'm researching for the show.
That's the extent of the thought. We're done now.
Yep, that's it. A listener had a question about communicating with a partner who's trying to shove things inside you, which is important. That question didn't occur to me to write down for this because I have been very blessed to have partners who are like very good communicators and very good listeners. But do you have any advice for communicating with someone who's trying to help you work up to a larger toy or something?
I mean, I would start by making it clear that this is something that's going to involve a lot of communication.
Mm-hmm.
Something along the lines of, like, if you're playing with a new partner, you could say something like, hey, do you want to fist me? I can talk you through it. Like, just kind of making it a part of the offer.
Mm.
And making it explicit. Or, you know, hey, if we go slow, I think you could fist me.
Mm.
And just kind of making it clear right from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
What it's going to entail. And if you can, you can kind of guide the situation. For me, I get really nonverbal. So it's a lot easier for me to set up hand signals or to tell people outside of a sexy space what I need.
Yeah. Yeah, I've often used hand signals that are sort of like when you're trying to help someone back out of a parking space, like, come here, yep. No stop, which are great. And also you can use kind of like a red, yellow, green safe word system, green meaning maybe you can take a little more. Those are great.
I just hold their wrist sometimes.
Mm, that's good. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Also, like, because
just,
I also
let me
go
do
non-
it. Just let me do it.
I go nonverbal in this situation, too, so sometimes if I need more lube, I'll just, like, hand them the lube. Like, maybe I'm holding it while they're doing stuff, and then I just pass it to them when it becomes necessary.
The version of you in my head just chucked it at them, and I don't know why.
It's one of the rudest things you can just throw at someone, I think.
Nice, subtle way.
Love to square throw lube. Chest. Yeah. I could just spray them with it if they're fucking up. I don't know.
No. No.
Yeah. And if you are the person who is shoving something inside someone, I think probably the best things for you to know is, like, go slower than you think you need to, use more lube than you think you need to, watch their face very, very closely, and when in doubt, stop moving. But never just, like, pull the thing out immediately unless they tell you to do that. Mm. I think a lot of people, like, freak out when they see that their partner's in discomfort or pain and they want to just pull the thing out immediately because they think, like, that's how you sort of end the scene, that's how you read, whatever. But that can actually be, like, super painful or uncomfortable or even, like, upsetting on an emotional level if done when you're not ready for it. So if you're in doubt, just stay perfectly still and wait for further instruction.
Especially for something like a fist or something. Mm-hmm. Because pulling out, you're going past the widest point again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot easier for you to ease out, especially if the person is bearing down at the same time.
Yep.
And kind of give birth to your hand.
I was blessed to see the gesture that you just did, but our listeners cannot. But it was lovely. Okay, we wanted to talk about double penetration.
But we're who we are, so we spent 40 minutes talking about fisting instead.
You know what? It's relevant, though, because a lot of times when you're doing DP, you might be taking a larger object, or you might not be, but it kind of feels like you are, because you're stuffing both your holes, so.
Why? Yeah, because the thing is, there's only so much space, and yeah. Whether it's all in one hole or spread out amongst two, it's pretty much all in the same area.
Yeah, I think that actually is, like, really important for people to know, especially if they don't have a vagina, because it seems intuitively like each hole should have its own capacity and should independently or at the same time be able to take the same capacity roughly. But yeah, if you have one hole stuffed with something, it does reduce the capacity of the other hole, at least on everybody I've ever encountered. So you definitely got to keep that in mind.
Yeah, the wall in between the two is, like, soft tissue. It yeah. moves around.
Yep. So why, two-part question for you, why is DP such a huge and common fantasy in porn, etc., and is it, do you think it is actually as hot IRL as it seems?
Jesus. Serious questions here for one in the afternoon.
Yeah, let's penetrate this question. Let's get into it.
I mean, I think on the one hand, it plays into the ideas of excess, right? Of, mm-hmm. like, doing as much as you can. And it's, you know, the best of two good things for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of human nature to be like, thing A is good, and thing B is good, but what about thing AB?
Yeah.
Two great things together. But it comes down to, it's similarly to the things we both enjoy about large penetration. There's that feeling of accomplishment, but also, because it is this limited space, both of those holes feel fuller because there's something in the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if one of those is a factory installed deck that can feel things.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to feel really good for one or both of whoever's filling holes.
Yeah. Yeah, I also enjoy kind of like the intimate or the emotional aspect of it. I remember there was one New Year's Eve when I was at a party and I was drinking, so I was sending some flirty texts, and I texted a dude friend of mine that like to let him know that I was with this other dude friend of mine, who the two of them were like bros, and via text my friend was like, what would you think if we DP'd you? I guess he was also drunk, because I don't know why he would have randomly brought this up, but I was like immediately into this idea, because I like both of these dudes and I just think that would be fun. But I always remember that he was like, I think I would just make a bunch of awkward jokes, like pulling a can of Coke out of nowhere and offering it to him.
The two of them joking back and forth the entire... I feel like having fucked both of them, I feel like there would come a point in the middle where you'd have to be like, you two, focus, like, on me. Like, this is hilarious, but we're fucking right now.
Right. Which, like, for a subby person is, like, kind of hot in a different way, because it's like, I am just the hole or the receptacle that you are using in order to have this weird experience with another person. Like, I know that you've talked about enjoying the thought of two people basically fucking each other through you or using you, which I think is also a very appealing notion for me.
Yeah, I've definitely played with that idea a lot, and that's a lot of what's really hot for me about DP, is this idea of being, like, used up or used as a toy, or, you know, the people fucking me getting off on the way they feel against each other, and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Have you done DP with two people before?
I have not.
Mm-hmm.
I've only done it with toys or with, like, a person and a toy.
Yeah.
But I have not. It's hard to coordinate. Like, logistically, it's just hard to do.
Yeah.
It's like human Tetris.
You're very packed together. I never know what the right position would be for that.
Yeah, but you gotta find two people with penises who are either into each other or really comfortable with each other.
Yeah.
In the same place, at the same time, who are both also into me,
mm-hmm.
whose dicks are also, like, comparable shape.
Right.
Like, for my body and each other's body and sizing and things.
I remember at one point I was having a conversation with a boyfriend about whether he should DP me with a friend with benefits of mine, and I was thinking about their two respective dicks. And I was like, okay, which one would go in which hole? Because one of them had, like, a thinner, longer one, which I think is the natural fit for the butt. And then the other one had, like, a thicker, shorter one, which seems like more of a vag dick. And you got to think about this stuff.
Exactly. It's complicated.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but you're very experienced doing it with toys. I know this because at one point I was trying to do it with toys and you were, like, coaching me through it.
I forgot about that.
I was live tweeting it. Yeah.
I wasn't just, like, sitting cross-legged at the end of your bed.
But, I mean, it is interesting that you had to do that because, like, I have been a nearly lifelong masturbator, and when I picked up this particular activity, I was, again, like, I feel like I'm starting all over again. Like, I don't really know how to approach this and, like, what order to do things in. It's like, what do you recommend for that?
So, I warm up because butt stuff is easier for me at the very least when I'm turned on, and for a lot of people, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I warm up with, like, external stuff and generally some vaginal penetration to start, but for me that's a big part of the arousal process and a big part of my sexuality is through penetration. If it's not for you, maybe not. But I do that as, like, sort of a warm-up, and then I use whatever toy I'm using anally, and then I take whatever I'm going to take vaginally again. But I start with the ass because it's a lot easier to push the toy back out when you're inserting the other one. And I find, especially if I'm, like, laying on my back, it's easy to, like, kind of sit on it and hold it in place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know that you were encouraging me to use a clit vibe because I, for some reason, had not been doing that, which is just a rookie mistake to try to, like, I don't need to be turned on to put something in my vag, like, if I lube it up enough, which I think is why I thought I could just do that, but it is not the same thing. Like, I
yeah,
I really needed to actually take it slow and do the things that I recommend other people do. My problem, I was using two Fleshjack dildos. Fleshlight makes these huge silicone realistic dildos that are modeled after gay porn stars, and they're some of my favorite realistic dildos because the silicone is very firm and nice. But I was using two of those, and they have a very, very realistic texture, so there's, like, bumps and veins and stuff. And at a certain point, my butt was just like, nope, no more texture, I'm done here, and just, like, did not want anything else. And so I think I definitely made the mistake of, like, rushing into it, which you really shouldn't do with butt stuff or really with anything.
Yeah, I do find with DP, I find softer toys easier because they do kind of mold around each other more with firm stuff. If I'm doing something like metal or glass, like we were saying earlier, I only do it in one hole and then I do something silicone in the other. But I tend to do Vixkin, or I use the Tantus Uncuts a lot because those are really good butt toys. The shape is just really nice for those. But I do that a lot because they're flexible enough to kind of compensate for each other in a way that steel or glass won't. The smoothness of steel and glass is really nice, though.
Yeah. I feel like, for me, DP would be one of those things that, like, once I'd done it once successfully, I would feel much more confident doing it and, like, much more able to do it. Because, it, to me, it's, like, such an exotic thing. It's like, oh, I can't even imagine being able to do that easily or well. And so, like, I think once I actually manage it, I'll be able to do it more.
For me, I do DP more often than I think just doing butt stuff on its own, because I enjoy butt stuff more as, like, an addition to vaginal play, because I still get the G-spot and or A-spot stimulation, and it just kind of enhances it, rather than just on its own, which is, like, also great, but not always my favorite.
Another sort of related concept to DP is double vaginal penetration or double anal penetration, which is shoving two things in one hole. You've done that. I don't think I've ever done that. I think that that is a, like, one step too far for me. But how do you do that, and does that feel good?
I mean, it's a party trick more than anything else. I have done it out of necessity because I didn't have anything larger that I wanted. I would much rather use one large toy than two smaller ones. They're just not the most compatible shape, and they're kind of annoying. I could see it being a lot of fun for two flesh and blood cocks, though.
Yeah.
Because that, again, could play into that service idea, can play into them talking about how they feel against each other and all of that.
Yeah.
But with toys, it's cool. They tend to push each other out. I start with the larger toy, I think, usually, and then stretch, and then gradually add fingers around it to stretch myself a little bit more. And then whatever the second toy is, ideally if it has more of a tapered tip, that can kind of create space for it. Because you're trying to fit two rods into one cylinder. So
yeah, I know that for some people,
that's not how shapes work.
Into this. For some people who are into this, the fantasy is about sort of, like, being such a loose, sloppy slut, whatever, that, like, you can just be used however, which, of course, as we said, is not how muscles work, but that doesn't mean that you can't or don't fantasize about it. An act that this actually kind of reminds me of, speaking of advanced penetration, is docking, which I find fascinating. which is the act of putting a dick into the foreskin of another dick. It's just, it's so goddamn interesting. That's like right up there with like muffing for me in terms of like, that's like 301 level penetration, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I have so much curiosity about those. I don't know a ton about them. Muffing is penetrating the inguinal canal.
Yeah. Which are the canals that the balls drop out of at puberty.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a zine called Fucking Trans Women, which is incredible, which is said to have introduced the world to muffing, and you should go and buy and read that zine. It is excellent and fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. I have no experience with muffing or docking. Also, sounding, I think, is in that, like, 301 category.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, just lesser well-known stuff. I would say sounding is definitely more difficult, as with docking, but I don't know that muffing is more difficult. It's just less well-known.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been getting into sounding a little bit, or rather, my partner has, and I've done it to him once, and it's very interesting, but it's, like, such a labor-intensive activity, because you have to just, like, disinfect everything, and there's a lot of, like, glove changing if you super want to avoid UTIs and stuff, but there is something, like, psychologically pretty magical and interesting about actually fucking a dick. It is just really unlike anything else I've ever done.
Yeah. Half of my sex nerd brain is fascinated, and the other half of my sex nerd brain is like, ugh, can we be done talking about sounding now?
Yeah, that's exactly how my partner felt about it, and he was really surprised when he had a sudden shift and was kind of like, oh, I think I want to try that now, because it was formerly, like, a hard limit, and I find that really interesting. Like, a lot of times what we, you know, are scared of or are grossed out by can, like, really quickly flip into eroticizing it. Brains are really weird like that.
Yeah, because, like, intellectually I'm curious about it, but viscerally I am just so squicked.
Yeah.
Like, just deeply uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, okay. That sounds like a good place to end the show.
It's fine. I'll run with it.
Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Dildorks. I have been Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net and the rest of my writing at katewritesaboutsex.com. You can also follow me on Twitter or Instagram at girly_juice. Where is your stuff?
I'm Bex. You can find all my writing at bextalksex.com, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram at bextalksex. Together we're the Dildorks. We're on the Dildorks at We're on Twitter and Instagram at The Dildorks, and you can find us by searching The Dildorks in your favorite podcast app. If you want to support us, head over to patreon.com/TheDildorks to toss a couple of bucks our way and help us keep doing what we're doing.
It is March, by the way, which means that next month we are doing our annual 420 special called Hypotheticals. Yes. Where we get very high and we answer your hypothetical questions about sex, dating, masturbating, etc. They're usually goofy hypotheticals, like if you could have a threesome with any three people from the Scooby-Doo crew, who would they be? Or which sex toy would you use in a zombie uprising to defend yourself? Stuff like that. So we're looking for goofy hypotheticals along those lines. So if you want to submit those for that episode, you can email us, thedildorks@gmail.com, and we would really appreciate that. We're looking forward to that, as always. Thank you so much to Protodome. He did our theme song, I Want You in My Bedroom. You can find all of his music at protodome.bandcamp.com. And thank you to Amy. She did our logo. She is at starboots_ on Twitter. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. Bye.
Totally drew a blank.
That's okay.
For me, because I had two threads and I didn't know which one I was going to follow, and then I lost both of them. It's just, I'm doing great over here. It's up at 5 a.m. This is fine. But yeah. Look at those levels. They're all over the place.
Yay!
They're so spiky and shit.
Ha ha ha. I love when you dance.
No one else does.
Oh, I'm sure they do. They just aren't brave enough to say it. I will own up to how much
stand
I love
up for what you
dance.
Believe in.
Return of the tired dancing. I love it. Dance like you're dead inside.